Hi, good morning to you. We started off in the Confession of Faith. We're on number 15, lesson number 2. The church was founded. Last week we dealt with the fact that the church, we just dealt with the introduction lesson about the church and some things about it, the difference between the church and the kingdom and the family. We dealt with the difference between Protestants and Baptists on this belief. And we ended with the thought that there's so much Protestant doctrine in Baptist churches today that Baptists don't know the difference between Protestant doctrine and Baptist doctrine. And we looked at that. And so now we're going to look at when the church was started. That's one of the biggest things that you hear. All kinds of Baptist people say, well, the church was started at Pentecost, and true Baptists have never believed that at all. That's a Protestant doctrine. And so with this lesson here, I think it'll be clear by the time we finish this lesson right here that you'll be able to see that Christ started his church a long time prior to Pentecost. And so let's have another word of prayer, if you would, please, and then we'll get started on this. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you now for your word that clarifies so many things for us. And so we thank you that this is clarified. And now, Father, I pray that you'd open our understanding that we might understand the scriptures. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And so one of the things we start off with is the fact that John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. And so Christ was going to start his church with that which John the Baptist had done. And so as some of you here have seen me go through that process of baptism, that lesson that I've taught quite a bit, maybe I need to teach it again, realizing that, John the Baptist was the only human on earth that had the authority from heaven to baptize. And then Jesus walked over 60 miles to be baptized of John. And that means John was the only one that had the authority to do any baptizing. And so we look at number one here. There's 7 things here we'll look at this morning. And so follow me as we go through it. Number one, first members were those who had been baptized by John the Baptist, Acts 1, 21, 22. It says, wherefore of these men, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. And then in 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set some in the church first apostles. See that? All right. Now, we look at the Word of God, and the Word of God, of course, is going to answer things for us. And so look at point number 2. So point number 1 ended with 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set some in the church first apostles. So point number 2, the 12 apostles chosen and placed in the church. Acts 6:12-16. Watch this now. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Wow, there they are. So when we just look at basic theology, all right, we can see the process here. He called them apostles. And then verse 14, Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, the son of called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And so when we see this, we realize the first things they talked about when they were going to replace Judas is that whoever it was going to be had to go all the way back to the baptism of John. And then we look in 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has set some in the church first apostles. And so we find that, all right, now if you notice that terminology there in 12:28, very important that you pay close attention to the terminology. And God has set some in the what?
Church.
You see that? First apostles. And so when Jesus said, I'll build my church, that's what he was doing. And then when you look at Luke 6, you could also go to Mark. And he has another passage of scripture like this. But there in Luke 6:13, it said, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. That's all of the believers he had around him at that time. And of them, he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And so, where were those apostles placed? They were placed in the church that Christ was building. Okay? Now, number three, we're going to find church discipline was given before Pentecost. Now, you're going to notice the rest of these is going to be just some things pointing you to the fact that the church existed prior to Pentecost, okay? And the one thing I really want to say is this. I get amazed at the blindness. There's no way in the world. How in the world can you come up with the belief that the church started at Pentecost when you have all of this pointing to the fact that it wasn't? Amen. And so let's notice some things here, all right? Now, on point number three now. Church discipline given before Pentecost. Matthew 18:15-17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Now look at verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. And so, I reckon you're just going to have a church that's visible. You're going to have a church that's local. You're going to have a church that is functioning to do that one, aren't you?
Amen.
You see, and so, and even in verse 17, you have this word church, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, man, that's a local, visible church, isn't it? And that is before Pentecost, isn't it?
Amen.
So anytime you hear somebody say the church started at Pentecost, know this, just know it, that they're absolutely wrong in that doctrine. Okay? Now, let's notice the next one. The ordinances were given before Pentecost. Matthew 26:26-28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, there's things that you can look at when it comes to this, the Lord's Supper here. Now, just think about this. He had the church assembled right here, didn't he? Okay, now just think about it. Just think of all the people that were not invited to this. Was his mother invited to this? No. A bunch of the other disciples invited to this? No, not at all. You see, the Lord made a big difference. He has given this ordinance to the church. The church is the steward of the ordinances. We have two. That's scriptural baptism on one side, and then the Lord's Supper on the other. All right? And the church has this responsibility. Because you take this now, and what do? We go up to 1 Corinthians, and that's what we usually read, you know, when you have the Lord's Supper. And so, when we look at this, we realize that there's a lot of people missing there as they instituted that ordinance. And why? It's because that supper belonged to that first church. Now, we find that if we stop and look just, well, let me go on. I've got a bunch of stuff I want to share with you here, time permitting. And so go to number 5 right now. Let's work on this one for a moment. Commission given before Pentecost. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All right. And Jesus came and spake unto them. All right, see the them? Who's he talking to? He's talking to those apostles, isn't he? That's who he's talking to here. And those apostles are what? They're the first church, aren't they? Saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then I got this abbreviated here. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. That commission was given. I reckon I've got so much to say about this that I want you folks to realize. The Lord gave the authority to a church. All right? And anything outside that church is unscriptural. Amen. We live in a day when there's all kinds of things popping up. The word ministry has been taken to an extreme that it was never meant to be. And I get amazed at what people tell me. Well, I started this ministry. Well, what church are you out of? Well, we're not out of any church. We did go to this church, but we got this ministry. And listen, if it's just a ministry apart from a local church, it's 100% unscriptural. Don't care what it is. I don't care how good it is. God the Father and God the Son put something together, and it was called a church. It's a local visible body, and he gave some authority to the church. And When we look through the New Testament at that authority, whether you go up to Acts 13, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work I have unto them." Notice what the Holy Ghost said. He didn't say, "They're mine, just send them to me." No, he said, "You send them out." Right? "Separate unto me." And so they prayed over them, laid their hands on them, they fasted and prayed, and sent them out. In Romans 10, you find the word, "How shall he preach unless he be sent?" You see. And so we find that, you know, when God first saved me, I was so far removed from religion because I didn't like it. I thought it was all a bunch of garbage because everybody come along and say, "Well, this I'm a member, you know, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Mormon, I'm Catholic, I'm Jehovah's Witness, and I'm whatever, you know." And then I looked at the Baptist people and I realized, man, that's Baptist. That's Heinz 57 variety. And I thought to myself, these people are nuts. They're absolutely crazy. They all want to come up and say, "My church, this is my church." And that didn't work with me. I thought, there ain't no way. These people are crazy. Listen, there's no way in the world. If two things are different, they're not the same. And that's all there is to it. If it's different, it's not the same. And so that's what put me on this initial tailspin. And then when I was teaching college at the Citadel, I've told you all that before about how all that worked out. Man, I went to looking and reading and digging and digging and digging. And I realized, well, I needed to thank all those Protestants because them and the Catholics made a Baptist out of me. And then I got to thinking, this is bad, because I used to look at the Baptists and think, you guys are crazy. What type of Baptist are you? Well, I'm Northern Baptist. I'm Southern Baptist. I'm Independent Baptist, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, you guys are crazy. I don't want nothing to do with you. And, but now here I am. Amen. And here they are. Anyway, the reality of it is this. Is the Lord gave that commission to the church. Because if he'd give it to individuals, when the individuals died off, the commission would have died off with them. So he gave it to an organization that he had started. And remember now, the gates of hell is not going to prevail against it. Right? Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And the church has a doctrine, has a commission, has a purpose, has to fulfill God's plan. And so we find that God said he'll give pastors after his own heart. They'll teach with knowledge and understanding. The Bible says that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. And so there's a lot to it. And so when you look and see all these ministries, and none of them are church-sponsored. No way. They all have their ministry. That's totally unscriptural. And my opinion is this, they're just going to be, a lot of folks are going to get really shocked one day if they are saved. They're going to find out that what they did didn't count for nothing. It was just wood, hay, and stubble. Because they didn't do it God's way. Amen. All right, so this commission was given. We could spend a lot of time talking about that. Now, number 6. business meeting held before Pentecost, replacing Judas. Acts 1, 15 to 25. Turn there in your Bible. Now, I want to show you this, and I'm going to read it, all right? And as I read it, I want you to think local visible body. I want you to think church, okay? And I'll bring out a few words to you as we look at this, but we're going to be looking at Acts 1, 15 to 25. Now, what they're going to do is they're talking about replacing Judas, okay? Now, watch this. All right, so Acts 1, starting verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. See where he's at? Okay. And said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake prior before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now, just think about this. He's talking to a church, but he calls what they were doing a ministry. Now, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Athodama, that is to say, the field of blood. Verse 20, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men, which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Verse 23. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. Now look at this. And they prayed and said, thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, view whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Now, in verse 26, watch this now. This church is still functioning. And they gave forth their lots, in other words, their vote, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. He became one of the apostles. When the church gets together to do business, I think it's a good thing that before we make any decisions, we pray about it, don't you? Amen. Verse 24, and they prayed and said, thou Lord knowest. I think that's a good thing to do, is to make sure that we talk to the Lord about it. But you see, what he was doing there, he had that first church assembled, and they needed to do this. It was prophetic, and they were going to fulfill the prophecy of it. He was going to be replaced. And if you notice what they did, they prayed, and then they voted. They voted. Now, in other words, in that assembly right then, just think about this. Every vote counted, right? Under the leadership of the Lord. And so the unity of the vote allowed Matthias to become an apostle. Wow. They were going to tend to some business. Go to verse 7. Now, if the church started at Pentecost, we've got a problem. Those saved on the day of Pentecost were baptized and added to the church. Now, I'm going to show you something here in a minute that I've got written down somewhere else to show you, but I'm going to do it here. I'm going to put an argument to bed about something when it comes to this. In Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Huh. Well, if the church started at Pentecost, who was doing this baptizing? And what were they baptizing them into? But now that's not the argument. Did you know that? Watch this now. And the same day there were added unto them, about 3,000 souls. Added unto them. See that? In other words, they were already in existence. These people on Pentecost were added to them. You see that? Look at Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord added to the church. Well, the only way you can add to something, it has to be in existence already. You see? And so with a simple just perusing the Word of God and looking at it in some systematic theology, we realize this Protestant Catholic doctrine that the church started at Pentecost is a lie. The next thing is this. Now, a lot of people will argue with you about the fact, they'll say, well, they hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet. Until Acts 1:8, when the tongues and everything, right? And they'll say, well, that's it. All this was here, but the Holy Ghost wasn't on them yet. And I always look at them and say, well, read the scriptures. Grab your Bible. Back up. Grab your Bible right now. And back up to John 20. And let's look at verses 21 and 22. All right. Let's take a look at this. John 20, 21, 22. Then said Jesus to them. Huh, to them. Who's he talking to here? You see, them apostles. And Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now that ties us right into the Great Commission, doesn't it? In Matthew 28. that ties the church into the Great Commission, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it? All right, now look at verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. You see that? So now, do this with me now. Got your Bibles? Turn to Acts chapter 1. A commission to go. Well, I'll not get ahead of myself here. Let's do this. Let's just start in verse 3, Acts 1, 3, all right, for time's sake. To whom also he showed himself alive after the passion, by many infallible proofs. In other words, so his resurrection had many infallible proofs. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now stop right there. We ourselves sit right here, and we talk much about the filling of the Holy Spirit, don't we? We talk about, Lord, grant me the filling of the Holy Spirit for service, right? Power in service and power against sin, don't we? We talk about having the Holy Spirit to help us do those things. We know we're saved. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. But what we need is for the Holy Spirit to be preeminent. What we need is for the Holy Spirit to have power over the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. We need the Holy Spirit to work in us, to put a hungering and thirsting in us for righteousness. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, to motivate us, to open up the scripture to us. Right? When Jesus opened up the understanding of those disciples. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So when you look at this at verse 8, he's fixing to put these guys out on a mission. And, you know, when you get ready to go on a mission, you need some certain things, don't you? When I was going to go to the desert and spend a month, I carried certain things. When I was going to go to the jungle, I got rid of the desert stuff and got jungle junk. In other words, I prepared for each mission. And for us to be prepared for the service of God, we need the Holy Spirit. And in verse 8, he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so we find then, were these people saved? Yes. Was the Holy Spirit already dwelling in them? Yes. Jesus was very clear about that. But now he says, well, when the Holy Ghost has come, look at those two words, upon you. So now what we have is this. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. See that? But at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon. You see that? Now, in the Old Testament, when the Spirit of God came upon Samson, what could he do? Anything, man. He went down, tore the gates off, and walked off with them. You know, jawbone of an ass killed 1,000 Philistines. My goodness. And so in the Old Testament, when you look at this, the Holy Spirit come upon him, right? And Samson, he wist not that the Holy Spirit had departed from him. And when you look in the Old Testament, you realize that, boy, when the Holy Ghost come upon somebody, they had some fighting abilities. They had some tremendous abilities, didn't they? Well, that's what you're looking at right here in the New Testament. As a saved person, the Holy Spirit, you've already got the Holy Spirit. He's living in you. Okay? But what we need that unction from on high. We need the Holy Spirit to come upon us. Amen. Okay? And when that happens, then you'll find that something will happen to you to start off with. And that's why when we look at this, we realize, you go back there to John, you say it's already happened. And all these people that are saved, it's already happened. The church is already established. And it's done. And so for these Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, and others to say that the church started at Pentecost is a gross, gross, gross misinterpretation of the scripture. And so the scripture's very clear on this, isn't it? Even with, for those that want to say, well, look at the Holy Spirit. Well, look at it. Let's just back up and look at it. Jesus breathed on them and took care of that. And so there's a difference between the Holy Spirit coming up on us for service and dwelling in us because we are sealed unto the day of redemption. All right? So your soul is sealed unto the day of redemption. Let me take this last minute and tell you something. All right, my wife and I went and visited with Patsy. And we sit down at the table. Of course, we started talking about salvation, asked her for a testimony. And she had a really good testimony of salvation. And even though there was some times in her life that were pretty rough, but her testimony of salvation, she didn't say, I got saved then, or I got saved over here, or I got saved then. No, no, no. She started talking about what Christ had done in her. How that she was brought to a place to realize what sin was, and to realize who the Savior was. And she said it was amazing because previous to that, she said, I never even liked reading a Bible. She said, I didn't read it. She said, but after God saved me, that's the words, after God saved me, she said, I just can't get away from my Bible now. She said, I've got to read my Bible. She said, I get up of a morning and read it, and I go to bed and I read it. And see, that's because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Okay, but you'll find times in your life when you find the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that's when you wind up with a little extra wisdom, extra strength. That's why Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Get it?
Amen.
All right. Hope that was clear for you. Let's all stand, if you would, please. Time is gone. G-O-N-E, gone. Brother Floyd, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?